It's been a lot of years now, but Bobby McFerrin came out with a really great song. It was very popular. It hit us just at the right moment. It was entitled, There's a Little Song I Wrote. I might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah, you still remember it, don't you? I mean, it was just a little ditty, and it was cute. It was great, you know? Every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. If I could do it in his accent, it would be a whole lot better. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah. There was a lot going on in the country at the time, and maybe some wonder if the song became a hit because it reflected the attitude everybody was concerned about. But nobody felt. Everybody wanted to feel it, though. Don't worry, be happy. A feeling of serenity and peace in light of the things that were going on that were causing great anxiety. I wonder if you feel that way today. Just a little bit anxious. Just a little concerned. When I was a kid, I used to read Mad Magazine all the time. I love to read. I still do. But my mom went to the teachers and said, I can't get my boys to read. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they won't read anything. And the teacher said, well, do they read anything? And she said, yes, all they will do is pick up comic books. And the teacher, to her credit, said, buy every comic book that you can afford. And we had stacks of them and stacks of them. And it's hard to believe that I was on a graduate reading level when I was in the ninth grade, college graduate reading level. I loved to read. Because of Mad Magazine. I can't believe it. I owe so much of my life to Mad Magazine. Anyway, do you remember the character on the front of it, Alfred E. Newman? And you guys, you probably, right. What was his tagline? What, me worry? Yeah, yeah. And I remember thinking when I was a kid, I don't have any worries. So I guess he and I are kind of alike. What, me worry? Don't worry. Be happy. Have no anxiety over anything. Yeah, right. After all, what is there to worry about? What could possibly cause us anxiety? How much time do you have this morning? Because we can make a tremendous list. Don't worry about anything. Yeah, well, in this past year, we've had more to worry about than we have in a long time. We've had domestic terrorism issues, shootings in our school, air travel issues, biological warfare. We just bombed some people over in Syria. There are rising unemployment issues. There are budget issues everywhere. It's hysterical because the school is talking about, but to give safety, we're going to build a fence and we're going to give the teachers guns. You know what? We can't even get the teachers' telephones in their rooms. Am I right? Amen. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we got plenty of things to worry about and few really good answers. All of this with our usual worries and anxieties. In the world we live in, we hear the phrase, do not worry about anything, and it sounds about as credible as Alfred E. Newman saying, what, me worry? Or Bobby McFerrin singing, don't worry, be happy? Our propensity for worship just seems to be inbred, almost genetic. Judith Viorst, the children's writer, once wrote 15, maybe 16 things to worry about. Remember, she's writing for children. She says, first of all, my pants could maybe fall down when I dive off the diving board. My nose could maybe keep growing and never quit. Miss Beerley could ask me to spell words like stomach and special. I could play tag all day and always be it. Jay Spiviak, who's 14 feet tall, could want to fight me. My mom and dad, like Ted's, could want a divorce. Miss Beerley could ask me a question about Afghanistan. Somebody maybe would make me ride a horse. My mother could maybe decide that I needed more liver. My dad could decide that I needed less TV. Miss Beerley could say that I have to write script and stop printing. Chris could decide to stop being friends with me. The world could maybe come to an end next Tuesday, and the ceiling could maybe come crashing down on my head. I maybe could run out of things for me to worry about, and then I'd have to do my homework. But you know, as we get older, we find different things, new things to worry about, and it's harder and harder to get away from the nagging anxieties of living. The times that we live in have merely added to the list that was always there, but Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he goes on to say, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Thanks, Paul. It's easy for you to say. You know, you didn't have to worry about anthrax and airplane disasters. But you know, when you stop and you think about what Paul really was going through, he had a pretty good reason to be anxious. I'd venture to say that he had way more reason than you or I do. He wrote this letter from a prison cell. He's facing capital punishment. Not the kind of surroundings that would induce gratitude, certainly a situation that would cause great anxiety. And he wrote to a church in Philippi that was threatened with tremendous persecution. To the average observer, neither the writer nor the receivers of this letter had much reason to feel hopeful or be in any particular festive mood to rejoice. But Paul was able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes, not when it feels good. It wasn't something hypothetical. Paul had lived through enough that he knew that he was involved in rejoicing always in everything. So note with me that first, Paul is offering thanksgiving as a kind of antidote to anxiety. First, be anxious for nothing. A widow had successfully raised a very large family, was being interviewed by a reporter, and in addition to 6 children of her own, she had adopted 12 more. And through all of it, she had maintained stability and an air of confidence. And the reporter asked her how this could be, and she said, I managed to do so well because I am in a partnership. What do you mean? The woman replied, many years ago, I said, Lord, I'll do the work, and you do the worrying, and I haven't had an anxious moment since. See, worry can accomplish nothing. It is like sitting in a rocking chair. You have all that you have done as you rock for a while is have something to do, but that rocking takes you nowhere. Do not worry. I once read an article in a newspaper about an incident in the life of the late Lyndon B. Johnson. He was in Stonewall, Texas, at a ceremony recognizing the highway's beautification. And the president told his office he was feeling fine because he had followed the advice of an old woman who once said, when I walk slowly. When I sit loosely. And when I feel worry coming on, I just go to sleep. I witnessed a conversation once when I was visiting in the hospital with a woman from a former church who had to have a painful operation. It would take several weeks of recovery. And the doctor came in and she asked him, how long will I have to lie here and be helpless? And he said something I will never forget. He said, one day at a time. Her anxiety was erased every time she thought about that, just one day at a time. So often we worry about things that have already passed, and nothing can change those things. And many of us worry about the future. The stories told of a man who raised chickens, and among them was a rooster that occasionally crowed and greatly annoyed the neighbor next door. And one morning, the disturbed and angry neighbor, he called the owner of the chicken and complained, that miserable bird of yours keeps me up all night. Well, I don't understand, the man said. He hardly ever crows, and if he does, it's never more than 2 or 3 times in a whole day. And the angry man said, that isn't my problem. It's not how often he does it that irritates me. It's not knowing that he might do it that irritates me. Be anxious for nothing. Trust in the God that causes the lilies to grow and the sun to shine. While there is great stress and problems everywhere, we should remember that worry is nobody's friend and everybody's enemy. There are 773,692 words in the Bible. And take my word for it, don't count them now. Do you know that in all the Bible, there is not one time where the word worry is used in the context that we're using it? It's not in God's vocabulary. It should not be in ours either. So secondly, in a sense, it may come down to whether how you view life around, through the lens of plenty or the lens of want. So be thankful for anything. In a cemetery in England stands a grave marker with this inscription, she died for want of things. And alongside that stone is another that says, he died trying to give it to her. Yeah. It's laughable, but it's also tragic. These epithets point out how futile it is living and working only for what the world can give you. A pastor tells a story about his cats. I love this because I have a neighbor cat now that it's a neighborhood cat, but it's become ours. And we feed it, and it's very demanding, and we call it Skirt. And then the Skirt's mother started showing up. We call her Old Cat. And never comes in the house, but she's out there. But anyway, he wrote this. He said, "Every morning our cats nag us until we get up and feed them. You would think that they were starving to death. 10 minutes later, they're at it again. Pitiful meows of half-starved felines. We feed them again, just a little bit. If Susan fed them first, they will come crying to me a few minutes later, and I'll give in and feed them just a little bit more food. You might say, well, why not feed them enough so that they are satisfied and don't ask for more? And the answer is, these cats do not understand the concept of enough. No matter how much we might feed them, they would want more. Oh, eventually they'll go to sleep or play with an imaginary mouse or do whatever it is they do all day. They don't beg for food every waking moment, but they are genetically wired to always worry about the next meal. They can be in a deep sleep, but if they hear the sound of the cat food bag, they're instantly awake and they come running. It is possible for us to go through life like those cats, always worrying for the future, always focusing on the scarcity of what it will bring rather than plenty. How many of you live in New Smyrna Beach? Actually, live here year-round. God bless you all, because, you know, every once in a while, we'll be walking around, we'll do something, and we will say, you know what? We live here. Don't we? We live here. This is our home. People that come to visit during the summer, they have a week off of vacation, they have saved up their money to come and do what you get to do every single day. But do you appreciate it? Do you ever think about it? Other people pay for what you get to just walk out of here and just go away. It's a beautiful day and all. God bless them. I'm glad they're here, but I'm glad you're here too. Someone imagined a conversation. Oh, let me think. If I think it's possible to go through life like those cats. Sometimes the best thing we can do when we're facing trouble is the old song, "Count Your Blessings One by One." Count your blessings, see what God has done, because this can help us to put things into their proper perspective. Someone imagine a conversation between a robin and a mole, and the little creature pushes his way through the meandering underground burrow and sticks his head up out of the broken ground and exclaims to the songbird, "What are you making such a racket about?" And the bird, who's perched on a low branch, stops his happy singing to say, "Well, I love the sunshine. I love the trees and the dewy grass and the shimmering stream. Everything here is just full of beauty." "Nonsense," says the mole. "I've lived in this world longer than you have and tunneled hundreds of feet, and I can tell you there's nothing in it but worms and grubs." It all depends on how you look at things, doesn't it? How are you looking at things in your life? We should be anxious about nothing. We should be thankful for everything. And third, we should be prayerful in everything. I mean, what do you do when trouble strikes? If you're like most people, you call a friend and you tell them all about it. And sometimes that is enough, isn't it? Just to share it, to share a burden with another person makes that person, that burden lighter. I know I had one prayer for you today. It would be that in your life, you always have that one friend to whom you can tell anything and everything, no consequences, just spill the beans, and they will hear you. My friends have troubles of their own. They don't need mine, you might say. And while that's true of some people, it is not true of others. I know many people who have troubles in their lives that make my troubles look pale by comparison. And yet I know, that I can share my problems with them. And best of all, there is one person who we all can share our load with and speak to in prayer, and we don't have to pray to God using special language or words when we talk to God. It can be while waiting at a light or sitting at a desk or some other place and using everyday language just like Jesus was sitting there beside us, our friend. One point not to forget is while talking to him, we should also take time to listen to him. Winona Carroll writes, "From time to time, I felt it's necessary to speak with my new cook when she was preparing a meal. However, with increasing frequency, he would interrupt me with, 'I'm sorry, I don't have time to listen right now. I'm busy.' And I finally had to stop him and said, 'Well, whose work are you doing?' And the answer was obvious, and he said, 'Well, if you're doing my work,' I said, 'then please stop long enough to learn how I want it done. I imagine God must yearn for us to do the same thing when we become so occupied with what we do not have, that we do not have time for quiet listening to His instructions and getting our lives in line with His will. We're really great about putting those coins in the machine, right? I talked about that a few weeks ago. It's like God's a big Coke machine. You put the coins in prayers and suddenly you pull something out, whatever you want. It doesn't work that way. That's not a relationship. Be anxious for nothing. Be thankful in everything, and be prayerful about everything. God never told us life would be easy. And if you ever have a preacher who tells you that, they don't know what they're saying, because it's always going to be a challenge. God, however, promised you would never have to go through it alone. God will go with us every step of the way. Think for a moment. A great bridge. Take the Golden Gate Bridge. Surely one of the most outstanding things in California and outside of San Francisco over the bay. Anyone who sees it cannot help but be awed by its size. But suppose you were driving through the desert in Southern California and you saw that magnificent structure spanning some dried up riverbed, some Three Frogs Creek or something like that, you know, Turtle Soup Junction, just a little creek. What a ridiculous sight it would be. And likewise, the Lord never displays His power and His grace in such disproportionate ways. He always fashions His provision according to the difficulty of the times that you are going through. He does not impart strength until it is needed. Jesus said, "Be not anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself." So what are you going to do? Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will wear. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is gone, how much more will He clothe you and care for you? So here's your task. One of my very favorite bits of scripture was read today. This is the Philippians reading, and it's verses 8 and 9, particularly 8. Because if you want to get yourself right, you're sitting at the light, take a little card, put this on there, and think it through, okay? Don't worry about whether or not the guy in front of you is going to take off when the light turns green, because you do that. Don't worry about any of those things. Finally, brothers and sisters, this is what you think about. And if you're not doing this, if you're thinking of something else, change your ways. Think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Do that this week. Take time and all the things that you worry about. And you get into that cesspool of I don't know what's going to happen, and you just don't even know where the end will be. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, that's where you live. Jesus came that we would have real life. Jesus came that we would have a full life. Not a life full of worry and anxiety. So truly, don't worry. Be happy. Let us pray. Our Father, we are aware that this is hard. We're structured in such a way to, like the cats, we always want more. No matter what it is, we want more of it. And yet, so many of us bask in so much health, so much goodness, so much of everything in the world that is good and pure, and things that are excellent that are at our fingertips. And so often we ignore that, worrying about more. So help us. Open our eyes to this week. Allow us to understand that our lives can be enriched simply by turning all of these anxieties over to You as our friend. And we do this because You are our friend. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, but our friend. Amen.